This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
We're going to look at Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 5. Now, this is what the Bible says. It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." He wanted that 7-day period to get over with before he actually killed Peter. "And when he had apprehended him and put him in prison, he delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Verse 5 says, "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Get that. But prayer was made without ceasing. I'm grateful God does nothing but by prayer and everything with it. "But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." I want to talk to you about the prison of fear. The prison of fear. There's a story that I've told for years, but I love to tell the story. It's a story about Bert and his wife. Bert and his wife had been married for better than 40 years. But every night for 40 years, Bert would get to sleep in a good way, and his wife would nudge him. And she'd say, "Bert, wake up, wake up. I think I hear something downstairs." Perhaps you're married to a lady like that. "But perhaps I hear something downstairs." And Bert would get up and he would put his house shoes on. He would go downstairs. There'd be nothing there, of course. That went on 365 nights a year for 40 years. Finally, one night, she nudged old Bert and said, "Bert, you need to go downstairs. I hear something." And lo and behold, there was a man downstairs. He had a big bag. He had a .38 special. He pointed that gun at Bert and he said, "Give me all of your money. Give me all of your valuables. I want them in the bag." Well, Bert was scared. He did just that. It went rather quickly. The robber was going out the door, and Bert said to him, "Sir, sir." And he turned around. And Bert said, "If you don't mind, would you come upstairs and introduce yourself to my wife?" That robber said, "Why would you want me to do that?" He said, "Because my wife has been expecting you for 40 years every night." Let me tell you what I know about that lady. She lived in a prison of fear. She lived in a prison of fear. Now, I'm going to talk today about how God miraculously delivered Peter from prison. But I tell you, some of you listening today, you're not in a cell. I mean, you're not behind bars. There's not guards all around you. You don't have an orange outfit on. But I tell you what I know about you. You're controlled by fear. Fear dominates your mind. Fear dominates your heart. Fear dominates every action in your life. You're constantly controlled by fear. Now, I want you to hear something. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, "God hath not given you the spirit of fear." Wait. If God has not given you that spirit, that spirit of fear that's dominating you, where do you think that's coming from? It's coming from the enemy. Because the enemy wants to paralyze you. He wants to control you. He wants you to be succumbed by this spirit of fear. But I want you to know, that's not God's plan. I love what Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said, "Fear knocked at the door, and faith answered, and there was no one there. Let me tell you something. Fear is knocking at your door, but you let faith answer, and I promise you there'll be no one there. You know, I often notice people have all these trinkets around them. You know, you can go into people's homes and they have all these trinkets. And you can go in people's office and they have all these trinkets. And I've often said, we don't need a bunch of trinkets around us. We need some thinkets around us. And that's why this week we got in some bracelets. I wear one every day. Since they came, they just came, I think, Thursday or Friday. But I wear one every day. And it simply says, faith over fear. If you don't have one, if you'll contact us, we'll do our best to get you one. Or you can stop by and pick you one up. You say, Pastor, I need more than one. I need one for both wrists, and I need maybe a couple on my ankles. Well, whatever the case, I think we need a reminder during this time that God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. We're not people of fear. We are people of faith. I am going to trust God. I accepted Christ. I accepted Christ by grace through faith. At the end of this thing, we're going to be able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. If it started with faith, and if it's going to end with faith, why don't we personify and exemplify some faith in the meantime? And I believe God wants us to have faith over fear. Now let me explain. I just want to say this, folks. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to peer rail. But I'm not going to panic. I'm going to pray. I'm going to praise. I'm going to peer rail. But I'm not going to panic, because God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, I want to help you get out of this prison of fear. And I want you to see four things quickly from the story that I truly believe that can be a help to you today. The first thing I want you to see is God's providence. God's providence. I'm talking about the hidden hand of God. I'm talking about God's divine guidance and care. See, if you look at Acts 12 and 2, it says Herod killed James. Now wait. James and Peter were both disciples. They were both godly men. But one of them was miraculously delivered, that being Peter, and one of them was killed. You say, Pastor, I totally believe in God's protection, don't you? Yes. But let me tell you something. I esteem God's providence even above God's protection. I esteem God's providence even above God's protection. The little poem said, my heart may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but it's in my soul I'm glad I know that my God makes no mistake. I'm going to trust the providence of God. Today at 2 o'clock, I'll preach a funeral. Today at 3:30, I'll preach a funeral. Now, neither one of these individuals passed of COVID. But I want you to know something. You say, Brother Benny, what do you believe? I believe in the providential hand of God. I believe a man or woman of God are immutable until God is ready for them. Because God's too loving to be unkind. He's too wise to be mistaken. When we can't trace his hand, we can trust his heart. Let me tell you, there's a promise in Romans 8 and 28 that I've crawled up on many times. Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. And we know, that's a confidential promise. All things, that's a comprehensive promise, work together for good. That's a comforting promise. And I say to you today, you said, Pastor Benny, fear is controlling my life. I want you to see God's providence. I want you to see God is working even when you don't understand it. I love to tell that story about the blind gentleman that was crossing the road, and he had a seeing eye dog. And they started to cross the street. It was a very busy street, and cars were coming in every direction. Brakes were squealing. Horns were honking. I mean, literally, that dog walked that blind man across the road and almost got him killed. He got on the other side, and he reached in a bag and was getting a dog biscuit to give to the dog. And his friends came over and said, "Sir, don't give him a dog biscuit. Don't reward him. He almost got you killed." And that blind man said, "I'm not trying to reward him. I'm just trying to locate his mouth so I can kick his tail." Let me tell you something. Many times we don't totally understand, but we don't live our lives based on explanations. You know, we live our lives based on the promises of God. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 tells us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, God said, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So as you're in this prison of fear, I want you to understand God's providence. I want you to understand that God's working all things for your good. But I want you to see something else during this time. Not only God's providence, but I want you to see God's people. See, Peter was in prison. Peter was in prison. I mean, every door was shut. But let me tell you, you may say, "Pastor, every door has been shut in my life. Everything is closing in my life. This isolation is killing me." Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, right where you're at, there's one door that nobody can shut, and that's the prayer door. The prayer door. See, verse 5 says, Peter was in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church. Prayer was made. See, the church was praying for Peter. Now, concerning prayer, at the prayer doors never shut. I want you to see the frequency of prayer. See, the Bible says it was made without ceasing. Now, the church didn't have enough influence at this time to keep him out of prison, but they had enough power with God to pray him out of prison. Let me tell you something. God can do exploits when His people pray. But notice it said they prayed without ceasing. Somebody said, "Pastor, do you just pray about one time and then you don't pray about it? Because if you continue to pray about it, that's not showing that you exemplify faith." No, no. The Bible teaches right the opposite of that. In Luke 18 and 1, it says men ought always to pray and not to stop. And then it gives a parallel. In Luke 18, it said there was this widow that came to this judge, and she had a request. And the Bible says that judge didn't regard God or man, but he finally said, "I'm going to give that widow what she wants because she wearies me with her continual coming." There's something about you just coming back to God, coming back to God, coming back to God. Don't you give up on those children. Don't you give up on that marriage. Don't you give up on that situation. Don't you give up on your healing. Don't you give up on your hope. Don't you give up on that dream in your life. That thing that the devil's telling you right now, you'll never be able to accomplish. You'll never get victory over that. You'll always be just like you are. You might as accept just like you are. No, no, no. Don't you buy into that. You keep on bombarding heaven. You keep on praying. And it's no secret what God will do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. I love what Psalms 40 says. Psalms 40 and 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord." That means I prayed. The first time I prayed, it didn't happen. The second time I prayed, it didn't happen. I just had to wait patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me What I didn't realize, while I was waiting patiently and I thought nothing was happening, God was leaning in. Folks, that just blesses me to death. I thought nothing was happening. I thought nothing was going on in my situation, but God was just leaning in all the time. When I thought he didn't even care, he was leaning in. When you think God doesn't care about you, I want you to know he's leaning in right now. And what does he do? He heard my cry. You just keep praying. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. You stick in there. Don't you quit. You just keep praying. But not only the frequency of prayer, but the fervency of prayer. Pray without ceasing. That means praying intensely. Praying intensely. Not only the frequency, not only the fervency, but I want you to see the focus of prayer. Look what verse 5 says. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. But look, for him, specific. It's an insult to God to offer up vague prayers. It's an insult to God. They were specific. They were praying for Peter. They were praying for a miraculous release. They were praying for God to preserve his life. Think about it, folks. If you say to me, come see me sometime, I don't know if you mean that or not. You know, you go to a store and they check you out and they say, come back. Do they mean to immediately come back? I don't know if they mean it or not. Come see me sometime. But think about this. If somebody says to me, Pastor Benny, Friday night, 6 p.m., I want you to come to my house. I'm going to fire the grill up. We're going to have Hawaiian ribeyes. We're going to have a baked potato. We're going to have banana pudding. And I'm going to kill all the calories, I'm going to have you a Diet Mountain Dew. 6 o'clock, my house. You know what? I'd show up because you got specific. You want God to show up? Get specific. Get specific. Keep your prayer journal. That way you can see how God's responded. That journal will be a blessing to you, and it'll be a blessing to your children and grandchildren in days to come. God's providence. God's people. But there's a third thing. This is so good. God's peace. God's peace. Now wait. In Acts 12 and 6, Peter knows that he's in prison because he's going to be killed, just like James was. But look what the Bible says. And when Herod would have brought him forth, that means, man, the next day he's going to take Peter's head off. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter, Rip Van Winkle, sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Get this down, folks. Here Peter is, knowing he's going to be executed the next morning. But he's sound asleep. Wait, death's coming. Death, if there's anything. You know, one guy said, I don't fear death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. If there's anything, if there's ultimately what we'd say, what's the worst thing that could happen? What's the worst thing that could happen in light of the coronavirus to us? Many people would say death. Well, Peter's getting ready to be killed the next morning, and he's sleeping. I started to say sleeping like a baby. You know, when people say sleeping like a baby, those people have never had a baby. Amen. All I'm saying, Peter was just sleeping. He was at perfect peace. You say, why do you think, Pastor, he was at perfect peace? I'll tell you why he was at perfect peace. Because he had seen the risen Savior. Let me tell you something. You don't have to be under the bondage
of fear. You don't have to be controlled by the bondage of fear. Look what Hebrews says. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus destroyed the power of death through his resurrection. And look what verse 15 says. And deliver them, that's us, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Friend, let me tell you something. We don't have to be in the bondage of fear because Jesus Christ is a risen Savior. And ladies and gentlemen, even if it's death, just as Jesus came through death, we will also. Just as Jesus was resurrected, we will also. Just as Jesus is in heaven, we will be also. Now, I thought about this story. Here Peter is. He had escaped. He'd been miraculously delivered from a prison in Acts chapter 5. So, man, they had him under tight security. They literally had 16 guards. They were in different shifts, but 16 guards guarding one guy in different shifts. But you know something? That wasn't the only guard or guards that Peter had. Look what Philippians says. Be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Paraphrase would be, don't you worry about nothing. Don't worry about anything. You said, but Pastor Benny, no. He said, don't you worry about anything. Somebody said, I'm just a worry wart. That's not anything to brag about. Worry won't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It will empty today of its strength. That's not a faith is sin. Worry is sin. Worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't take you anywhere. No, don't you worry about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. How to overcome worry? You pray. You can't pray. You can't praise and panic at the same time. You can't worry and worship at the same time. When that worry comes, you start praying and you start thanking God for the blessings in your life and the fact that God's going to see you through and the fact that God is sovereign. Now look, when that happens, the peace of God, that's what we want. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Wait, why could Peter sleep? Why could he sleep? Because the peace of God was guarding his heart. Pete said, guys, there's somebody guarding me that you don't know anything about. While I'm in chains, I can sleep because God's peace is guarding me. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. I'm almost done. There's one other thing I want you to see. God's providence, God's people, God's peace. But understand something. There's God's power. God's power. According to Acts 12 and 7, God miraculously delivered Peter from that prison. Yeah, he miraculously, he goes in there, that angel goes in there, and Peter's asleep, and that angel nudges him and says, now, Pete, get up. And miraculously, the chains fell off. And verse 10 says they just start walking out there, and they've got these big iron doors. And as Peter and that angel are walking, those iron doors just start opening up. The first automated doors were right here. 2,000 years ago, they just start opening it up because God miraculously got Peter out of that prison. Here's what I want to say to you. God can deliver you just like he delivered Peter. God can deliver you from being controlled by fear. God can give you faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the confidence of things not seen. I want you to know today, friend, you can be set free from that prison of fear. You come to Jesus. You lean into Jesus. You trust God's providence. You depend on God's people. You pray and experience God's peace. And I'll promise you, you can have God's power. Now let me say something. There is a time in our lives that fear can be advantageous. You say, Pastor, you mean you think there's a time that fear could be good? I really do. I really do. See, when I gave my life to Christ, it wasn't the goodness of God that brought me. It wasn't. Let me tell you what brought me to God. It was fear. It was fear. I felt bad about it until I realized that Noah moved with fear and prepared the ark to the saving of his house. What motivated Noah to do something was fear. He knew there was a flood coming. And what motivated Noah to do something was fear. And friend, what motivated me to come to God was fear. Nobody knew. But at night, I would be in my bedroom. And I'd cry and I'd wet a pillow. Because I was fearful. I thought, Lord, what if I go to sleep and I don't wake up? I'll go to the wrong place. I'll go to the wrong place. I'll end up in the wrong place. Fear was controlling my life. I thought that was bad, but really, it was good. Because look what the Bible says in Matthew. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. See, it was fear. Fear of going to hell that brought me to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're right where I was. I said, Pastor, I've got fear in my life. What's the answer? I can only tell you what happened in my life. One night at midnight, I said to my mom, Mom, I'm tired of this. I don't have any peace in my life. It's fun when I'm out with my buddies, but when I'm home alone, I have no peace, Mama. And she said, let's call the pastor. And we called that pastor, and he came at midnight, and he said, you got to pray. And I looked at that pastor, and I said, I don't know how to pray. I wasn't from a church family. Far from that. He said, take my hands, Benny. I'm going to lead you in the prayer that you've got to pray to overcome all this fear. And right now, I want to lead you in that very same prayer. I wish I could take your hands. I really do. But there's one far greater than me that can take your hands. He not only can take your hands, he can take your heart. If you'll just give it to him. So right where you're at, I just want you to bow your head, still away, wherever it's at, just still away, and repeat this prayer with me. Say these words, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but God, I'm so sorry for my sin.
I believe that you died on the cross for my sin, and I confess them to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord. God, forgive me. I don't want to be controlled by fear, but I want your peace. Now, thank you, God, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.